Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? It's always a privilege to be with you. You may be seated tonight, and I want to thank Pastor Josh and his wonderful family for the privilege of being here. I don't know, it's four or five times I've been at Victory, and it's always very victorious to be at Victory. You walk into this place and you feel victory everywhere you are. Amen. And from coming in by the Dandy Mini Mart, I looked up across the field and I said, I think I see the airport, or as we like to call it, Victory Church, because of the lights. And I come in the way I normally come in, down here by the bank, and that was all shut down. And so we had to find a way around, but we got here tonight. Amen. And it's good to be here with you tonight. Has anybody in this building ever heard of something called The Voice Radio, WLIH? Is anybody? 107.1 FM. Your pastor airs on that every single week. I'm the president of The Voice Radio. And so we are just wanting you to know that if you are in the Wellsboro, Mansfield region, how many from that region? If you're over that way, check out 107.1. FM. And the Lord gave us the privilege of assuming the responsibility of that great ministry 4 years ago, and God is doing great things there. And so we've got a couple things tonight. Who in here is size small? Is anybody size small? Tell on yourself tonight. Anybody size, the media guys, size small? Is there no small people at Victory Church? Okay. All right, somebody show me small. Where's small? Wave at me if you're small. All the way in the back. We got a shirt for you from The Voice Radio. I'll run all the way back and give it to you. Here you go. God bless you with that. Do we have any medium people in here tonight? Medium people. All right, right here up front. Here's a Voice Radio t-shirt. What is the next one? Large? Large. Anybody large? Anybody large? All the way over here. Large. I see this lady all the way back there who wants... This is a big building to jog around. It's a way to lose weight, I guess. And I think we got one more. Extra large? Extra large? Extra large. All the way over here. Okay, can we catch... Here we go. Oh, a perfect catch. How many would like their own Voice Radio drinking mug? Anybody? Okay, you have to come up and sing a song. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Who wants this gentleman right here? I'm going to give it to you. You look like Rick Warren to me. Every time I come here and I see you, you look like Rick Warren. You were here the last time I was here. Okay, someone else is going to have to preach. I'm out of breath. I lost 35 pounds in the last 16 months, and I'm still out of breath. All right, sir, you get the last one. Thank you. God bless you all, and keep listening to The Voice Radio. It's a blessing. It's great to be here tonight, and I've got three sermons to share in 50 minutes, so you guys think I'm joking. You should attend my church more often. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. It's great to be here, and I know that you've been in a series called Building Our Success Scripturally, and I really appreciate the opportunity that Pastor Josh would invite me to come and to be a part of this, because more than just a pastor, I'm also a businessman, and some of the things that I've overseen in the last 15 years and still oversee, of course, I started 15 years ago of a pastor in a church in Westfield, and from that time, I still pastor, and we built a daycare and preschool center, which I'm the president over. We have Tioga County's largest food distribution center, which I'm the founder of that as well. We have Heritage Housing for senior citizens. Of course, we have the local church. Beyond that, personally, for my own life, I've built a small real estate company with investment properties, both commercial and residential, advertising company, yard care company. Am I forgetting anything? This is my wife. She keeps me up to date. And so grass doesn't grow beneath my feet, because I enjoy building success and building success in the kingdom of God. Amen. Because I believe that the more successful we are as an individual, the more successful we can help God's kingdom become. I often ask this question places that I have the privilege to go: how many believe that the church should be at the forefront of helping needy people? How many believe that they should be at the forefront of helping the hungry? How many believe they should be at the forefront of helping widows, single mothers, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry? We can't do that broke. Amen? We can't do that broke. And so I'm a firm believer in working work ethic and building
great, successful businesses and successful capabilities, because I believe that is God's way of blessing his people and funneling the fuel and funds needed into the house of God so that we can accomplish the vision. And let me tell you, when you walk into Victory, you realize this is a place of great vision. Amen. If you have a Bible with you tonight, if you'll open it to Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18. And as you turn there, we're just going to pray real quick. Father, tonight we thank you for your word and for all of these precious people who have come out tonight and the wonderful privilege to be here standing behind this sacred desk. I ask, Lord, that I decrease tonight, you increase. All that's said would bring glory to your name and strength to your people and their faith and their walk with you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16, something that I learned, a great scripture I learned in Bible college. I went to Bible school with your pastors. And this was a scripture they taught us a lot about, something that I reflect on often. But it says, giving a gift, and I read from the NLT version, giving a gift can open doors and give access to important people. Giving a gift can open doors and give access to important people. The thing that I have found is that if I walk into any generic room and I ask people, what is your gift? What is your gift? If I was to walk into this building tonight, put the microphone in front of your face and say, what is your gift tonight? Most people would hem-haw, stammer, stutter, and try to come up with something off of the top of their head that they want their gift to be, they desire their gift to be, but would struggle to really lay out before me what their gift is. The Bible says that giving a gift can open doors. And for most of us in this room tonight, we could all name 25 doors we need God to open in our life. Giving a gift can open doors. It can give access to important people, or as I like to say it, the right people. Because I've learned that the right people have exactly what I need that can promote me from where I'm at to where it is I need to go. We don't need everyone to like us, just somebody. Amen? Everybody. Now, I like everybody to like me. But man, if you have Facebook, social media, and you put yourself out there, you'll find out who doesn't real quickly. I like everybody to like me, but not everybody does. I don't have to have everybody like me, just the right people to like me. It's important that we learn our gift. If our gift is going to open doors, we must learn to identify our gift. And tonight I want to talk about three specific things: identifying, developing, and distributing our gift. Because if giving your gift opens doors to the right people, and you don't know what your gift is, you're never going to be able to give it appropriately. So the first thing we have to do as individuals is identify our gifts. We have to recognize that we are gifted people regardless of what others have said over our lives. Because if you're like many in this room, you've had a lot of people tell you what you can't do and what you're not capable of doing and how pathetic you are and how worthless you are. And see, those are the things that the enemy would wish to get into our conscience and into our spirit man so that we never, ever climb to the place and the position that God has for us in life. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. God has given every person in this room a gift or giftings. The gift is not for our personal benefit, but it says it's been given to us to serve other people. And as we release our gift in the earth, it opens doors for us. Every person in this room has seen a commercial at some point in your life, a TV advertisement, some new great product. They do their best to convince us we cannot live without that product, don't they? Everything they do tells us how wonderful this product, how it's going to add anything and everything we need to our life. But we have something in this generation that a generation didn't have before us. It's something called reviews. How many Amazon shoppers do we have? You go on Amazon, you find something. Oftentimes you hear about it. You see a commercial. But we do something that my grandparents' generation couldn't do. They had to buy it and deal with it. We go in reviews about it to see exactly how good this product is. How many in this building have ever been convinced that you needed something, then read the reviews and changed your mind? Yeah. I've done that on multiple occasions. I should have did that on that last Puerto Rico trip I was on. I was there for Hurricane Maria. Amen. Should have listened to the news, read the reviews. I heard y'all were praying for us. We appreciate that. See, the merchant can say what they want about how great the gift is. But it's really up to the consumer to really state if the gift is what the merchant says that it is, if the gift is what the creator said that it is. Product is not built for the merchant, it's built for the consumer. Product is built for the consumer. The merchant is just the conduit of transportation. And in the same likeness, understand that your gift is not for your deciding. Your gift has been built for others. Your gift has been built by the Father, placed in you. You become the merchant, and you are to release your gift into those around you. You're to release your gift into the business place, into the workplace, into the church house, into those, into your family, into those that you've been connected to. You have been placed in the position you're in to release your gift into the lives of others. So the question that I have for you is, if your gift is not for you, your gift is not from you, you're just the conduit in which it flows through, you have to read the reviews to find out what your gift truly is. I believe we have a lot of people in the church today who are trying to walk in other people's giftings, trying to walk in what they feel other people are doing that are successful, and never take time to recognize or identify what their specific gift is. What is the best way to learn your gift this evening? The best way to learn your gift is to listen to those around you that you trust. Listen to those around you that you are in relationship with, that you are in connectivity to, because they will tell you what your gift is. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote regarding Timothy. Remember, Paul was Timothy's mentor, and Timothy was going through a very difficult time in his life. Paul had ministered to him, Paul had trained him, Paul had picked him up along the way in life, and he had built him up in the things of God, and Timothy was now ministering the gospel, but Timothy was frustrated. He was going through a trial of his life, and Paul speaks to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writes what I like to call a review on Timothy. And he identifies one of Timothy's gifts. He said, I remember, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 5, your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know the same faith continues strong in you. Timothy was in a frustrating place of his life. Maybe a place where he wanted to quit. You know, the thing that becomes so difficult to recognize, realize, or focus on our gifts when we're frustrated, when we're irritated, when we're ready to throw in the towel and quit. And when Timothy was at this place in his life, Paul wrote a review on him. He said, I've never seen anybody full of faith like you're full of faith. Now, if Timothy was honest, that probably frustrated him. Because, you know, when we're all frustrated and someone's telling us how wonderful we are in Christ, sometimes that makes you just a little irritable. At least it does me. I'm being honest tonight. Sometimes we want that wound-licking vest for a while. We want people to lick our wounds and tell us we know how bad it is. But Paul said, I'm not going to let Timothy lay there. I'm not going to let Timothy reside there. Timothy's frustrated, but I want you to know you are gifted. You are a man that is gifted with faith. Timothy had to listen to the words of Paul. Understand that your gifts are not for you. Paul recognized that because there were times in their relationship in life where Paul watched Timothy be a man of faith, a man of power. Every day you spend in ignorance of your gift is one more day the people around you walk home in emptiness because you are not recognizing what God has placed you in the earth to do. You haven't identified it, therefore you've not developed it, and you're not distributing it appropriately. It is your gift that opens doors into your life. Proverbs didn't say prayer opens the door. It didn't say seed sowing opens the door. It didn't say beating on the wall opens the door. It says giving gifts can open doors into your life and get you in front of the right people. Once we identify our gift, we've got to develop our gift. We've got to develop our gift. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those of Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. After Paul and Silas shared their hearts, the Bible says the people searched the scriptures for all the truth they could find on the subject. Once you identify your gift, you have to develop them. Don't sell yourself short. You have to sharpen the gift that God has placed on the inside of you. Billy Graham was asked many years ago, what was the key to your success? He said, this was the revelation Billy Graham gave, one of the greatest ministers of the gospel that ever walked the planet. He said, I found out what God called me to do, and I did it. Boy, wouldn't that be revelation for many churches and preachers today? Most of us are oftentimes chasing whatever the social media culture says is the next best way to do what will make your church grow. But it's not just the church, it's life in general. We're so busy chasing what someone else does to be blessed or to find increase that we forget to realize that God created us with a specific gift and a purpose, something that can be developed and poured into the lives of others that will make a difference that no one else can make. Remember, it is your job to develop your gift. Once you identify that gift, develop it. Don't sell yourself short. Sharpen the gift God has placed in you. Remember, that is the key to opening doors in your life. You know, during the 1950s, the automobile became something more than just a vehicle of transportation to get you from point A to point B. People began to go to the drive-in movies. People began to go to what they would call the drive-in restaurants. Some of you in this room are old enough to remember that. I am not. But you drove up. They came out in roller skates. They clipped a tray to your window. You got burgers and fries, and I think they called them malts back in those days. And you sat and you ate in your car for the first time. The vehicle became a resource of entertainment more than just a vehicle of transportation from point A to point B. And what they began to find is that as people began to live in their vehicles more and they ate and they drank in their vehicles, that they had nowhere to put their soda or their water, whatever they carried, their coffee. They'd sit it on the floor, but the problem with that was it would fall over. When I was a little boy, I watched my dad put his coffee more than once between his legs driving down the road, and if that was not funny, when that spilled. So as they began to venture out into the 60s, they tried to develop things that would make it more comfortable for the consumer. And so the glove box doors would fold down, and they put little indentations in them, kind of like the tray tables have in airplanes for people to set their drinks in. They tried putting little cup holders, hook them to the door, but the problem with that, they'd slam the door and your soda was in there and all over the car it would go. Do you know it was not until 1983 when Dodge released the Dodge Caravan. How many remember when the Caravan came out? It was the first vehicle to ever in the center console have cup holders. It took them 30 years of work, but they developed something that every person in this room tonight has in their vehicle, a cup holder. You use it. I bought a truck a few years ago, and in the front of my truck, the middle console has six cup holders. The whole truck only holds six people. The front console has six cup holders. And I said to myself when I got there, why in the world would they put six cup holders? But do you know that my cup holders are full to capacity all the time in my truck? The vehicle industry saw something and they worked at developing it until they got to a place that they perfected it. 30 years it took them from the beginning until finally 1983 when they said, we're going to mold it right into the vehicle. How many in this room would say you have something in your cup holder tonight of liquid form? Amen. How many use your cup holder every day in your vehicle? How many are glad your vehicle has a cup holder? How many are glad that Dodge and Ford and Chrysler and Chevy put the effort into developing a gift called a cup holder? I know I am. The question I have tonight is, are you taking the gift God put in you and have you been working at developing it? Or have you just been riding by? Just riding through with it. It is important that we develop our gift. Listen to what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6. This is right after he writes the first review and says, I'm going to tell you what your gift is. It's faith. He says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. You know what Paul is saying to Timothy? He's saying, I'm reminding you, buddy, you got to stir it up once in a while. You got to develop it. you got to fan the flame of that. If the coals are starting to get low, you got to get some oxygen into it once in a while. You've got to develop this thing. Paul wrote Timothy's first review. He said, you've got faith, the faith of your mother, the faith of your grandmother. But then he reminds him to continue to develop the gift that is in him by fanning the flame. One of the worst things we do is get out of college and think that our education years are over. I told my wife just this morning, I never want to stop learning. Never want to stop learning. For Father's Day, her and my daughters got me a trip to go into a little Cessna with a gentleman and fly a Cessna plane. And I did it last week. I got in there and he told me three or four things. And we got the thing up off the ground and we're up off the ground, maybe 1,000 feet. And he says, okay, you fly. Scared me half to death. I don't know nothing about flying no plane, you know, and it's not like driving a car because a car is connected to the road. A plane is just these little planes. Is there anybody that flies in here? It's just moving all the time and you're counteracting it. And I really didn't have any idea what I was doing. And he said to me mid-flight, he said, you know, you're actually doing pretty good. I said, it must be the Holy Ghost because I don't know what I'm doing. I was scared half to death. But you know, as time went on and we finally landed the plane and I got out of it, it created something on the inside of me, a desire to want to learn more. That is something that I pray daily. Lord, never let me get to a place in life and business that I get so complacent at going through the mundane thing that I never look for new nuggets to apply to my life. And that is where a lot of the population, the culture, the church gets. And some of you in here tonight, you're 40, 50, 60 years old, and culture may tell you, listen, life is moving fast and it's moving rapidly. And you know what? You've had your time and your day. But I disagree with that statement. God still has a plan for your life. He still has a purpose for your life. And you may be doing something different today than you were 25 years ago, but that doesn't make it any less significant. God wants to use you and he placed you here for a season to give you a gift that if you would display it, it would open the doors that you need opened into your life. See, most of us in this room have a cell phone. But if we never updated it or invested into the updates, it would become stale. Every now and again, my wife will tell me, my phone isn't doing anything. And I get on and there's like 775,000 updates that she hasn't made. I said, you've got to update the phone once in a while. You've got to take a moment. You've got to allow the phone to chill. You've got to turn it off and reset it and update it with Apple so you can get all the new stuff on it so it works better. Most of us in this room drove in here in an automobile, but how many know if we never maintained it and developed it and sustained it, it would not work in the full potential that the individual who designed that vehicle desired for it? The question that I have for you is, what tools have you been purchasing to maintain your gift? And I'm not just talking about spiritual, I'm talking about natural too. Oftentimes, as a pastor, you find in the church, you know, somebody will be like, well, this Bible I got back 78 years ago when I graduated from, you know, and your kids and your grandkids have ripped half of the pages out of it. You know, it's all worn out. It's been scribbled all over. You know, how many know sometimes it's good to get a new Bible? There's a lot of good study Bibles out there. But you know, that's every aspect of our life. It's so easy to get caught up and wrapped up in going through the routine that we can become like Timothy. We're frustrated and the doors of life aren't opening that we desire. But Paul said, remember your gift, Timothy. You are a man of faith. Remember, you have to fan that gift. You have to develop that gift. You have to cause that gift to move forward at times. You remember the story in the Bible, Matthew chapter 25. I'll just reference it quickly. But it's the parable of the talents, one of my most favorite parables that Jesus ever gave. He talks about three different men. There was one man that the master was leaving to go into a far country, and he was leaving them with bags of money. And he gave the first man 5 bags of money, the second man 2 bags of money, and the third man 1 bag of money. And the Bible says the master's gone for a season and then he returns. And when he returns, he calls the three individuals forward to take an account for what they did with the gift that they were given. Well, 2 out of the 3 servants, the Bible says, invested the gift. They invested into it. They did something with it. The Bible says both of them doubled their investment. Boy, that's a pretty good day, isn't it? Somebody gives you a free bag of money and you double it. The question is, what did they do with that money? Well, they invested it. They did something with it. And how many would agree in this room that if you were given a bag of money and you could double it in an investment, you would call that a good day? I'd call that a good day. I'd like to have one of those days every day. What was the possibility that these two servants could have invested that money poorly? Well, you hear about those sort of things all the time. They could have invested it poorly. They could have invested into the wrong stuff. They could have lost the master's money, but they didn't. They invested it into something that doubled its money back. What's the difference? The difference is they knew something that most folk didn't know. They were given a gift of money and they doubled it. How do you do that? You have to know something. You have to know the right place to put it. You have to know the right place to invest it, what to do with it. You have to know where that money is going to get the biggest return. And because they had that information at their disposal, because they knew how to develop the gift that was given to them, when the master returned, they were able to say, "You gave me this, but in return, I give you back this." However, there was the last servant. He was only given one bag of money. And the Bible says that he became full of fear. So he hid the money into the ground. That third servant who had been given the gift of one bag, he got caught up with fear. He got caught up with the busyness of life. It kept him from developing the gift that was given to him. It kept him from understanding the right place to put it, what to do with it, how to sharpen his tool, his capability. And so the Bible says he went and he dug a hole in the backyard and he hid his gift in it. Hid his gift so when the master returned, he said, "Master, here, I'll give you back what you gave me." The man was full of fear. He didn't develop. He didn't research. He didn't invest into himself. And my fear today as a gospel preacher and as a business person is that there's a lot of individuals that sit in a room like this today that are so gifted. There are gifts and talents that have been placed inside of you by the Lord, but are you developing those gifts and talents? Have you identified those gifts and talents to use those to the fullest potential so that when the Lord returns and he looks at you and your life and you stand before him, you can say, "God, you gave me one, but I'm giving you back 10. You gave me this, but I'm going to give you back that. I took what you gave me and I multiplied it." Or are we the lazy servant that says, "Well, Lord, I was full of fear, so I hid it in the backyard and I'm just going to give you back what I have here." God equipped every person with a gift the same way he equipped us with a measure of faith. How you invest it will determine your return on that gift. A decision to invest alone is not enough. We must ask the questions such as, "How do I invest? What do I invest? To whom do I invest?" And the only way, church, the only way to gain the answer to these questions is through prayer, wisdom, and knowledge. Prayer, wisdom, and knowledge. I am a firm believer at not reinventing the wheel. Somebody invented that. I want to enjoy the wheel, not reinvent it. It's prayer. It's seeking the face of God, saying, "Lord, open my eyes, open my heart, let me see." It's wisdom, knowledge, getting around the individuals who are walking inside the full potential of the gifts that God has placed in your life as well. It's learning what they know. It's seeing what they see. It's doing what they do. When I get around Victory Church and Pastor Josh, I like to listen. I've been pastoring for 15 years. But I don't know it all, man. There's a lot I'm still missing. And there are things that are in my heart that I see this man do, and he does it without even, it just flows out of him. It's a gift. And I get around him, and I want to learn from that. I want to be that protege. I want to listen to what he says. I want to be a sponge to just suck all of that information up. But oftentimes, we as people, we block out the information for fear or complacency, or we're tired or we're exhausted and we're not walking in the full potential that God has for our life. The question I have for you is, if you've identified your gifts, what are you doing to develop them? What is the most recent book you have read on developing your gift? What is the recent video you have watched? Who is your mentor? Who are you the protege of that you have sat down behind and watched? Somebody that you see walk in what God has put in your life who does it with excellence, and you say, I need that same kind of spirit in me. Remember, your gift is there to open doors and bring you before important people. If you cannot identify your gift tonight, if you've not developed your gift tonight, how are you investing? How are you distributing your gift? How are you distributing in the fullness or the potential of the excellence that God has placed before you? Luke 6:38 says this, given you will receive, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room and more for running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. We are living in a culture today that wants to blame everything and everyone else for their inability to succeed. And the church said. I was at the Texas Roadhouse about 2 hours ago. And yes, Brother John felt that over there. Hallelujah. And I used to always eat a 12-ounce steak when I went to the Texas Roadhouse. And I started realizing that I was getting to a point at about 35 years of age when I bent over to tie my shoe, I would ask myself the question, is there anything else I can do while I'm down here? Because I didn't want to have to go back down there again. And I'm a hobby builder. I like to build. And when you build, how many builders are in the room? When you build, you're up and down, up and down, up and down. And every time you got to push all this back up and your knees feel it, you think, man, there's something not right. I would bend over to tie my shoes, cut my breathing off. You have to tie quickly. It's swoop, hoop, and hook, because if you're not careful, you're going to be passed out on the floor. How many know what I'm talking about? And so I was becoming one of these full gospel preachers. You know, it was just getting full all the time. And so I decided that first things first, what I would do is I would just watch the intake. You know, I like to eat, and I like to eat all the bad stuff, and I love Coca-Cola. Is there any Coca-Cola drinkers in the building? I've had to change that. I used to say I love Coke, and then I get weird looks in the church, so I love Coca-Cola. And so if it was up to me, I would get an IV drip with Coca-Cola in me. I love Coca-Cola. And so I said, I don't want to give up my Coca-Cola, so I'm going to watch my intake. And so I went from eating a 12-ounce steak down to a 6-ounce steak, and you know, just making those proportion changes. And in 13 or 14 months, I lost 35 pounds. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful feeling. I can now tie my shoes and breathe at the same time. It's been heaven. But tonight, I walked into the Texas Roadhouse, and we were early birds. We were like the senior citizens. We got there at like 4:30, and we were going to get us a deal. And we sit down, and I said, I have the 6-ounce. She said, the 6-ounce is $9.99 early bird. However, it's Wednesday night, and you can get the 11-ounce for $10.99. And I said, well, man, that's at only a dollar more. I haven't eaten a 10-ounce steak in 14 months. But I ordered it, and I ate every last bit of it. And I hurt when I got up to leave. And I told the lady when I left, she said, how was it? I said, it was horrible. I'm getting ready to go stand in front of 300 or 400 people, and I'm going to have to preach. And I want you to know what you have done to me. You have hurt me. I said, I am hurting, and this is not going to be good. And I want you to know that if I don't make it and they don't invite me back, it is all the Texas Roadhouse's fault. And of course, we were joking back and forth about it. But I tell you that story because we are living in a culture today that if I don't succeed, it's everyone else's fault. And that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says if you give, it will be given back to you. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So it's important for us to distribute our gift, to be individuals that can use where God has placed us, the settings that we've been placed in, to distribute our gifts. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, we were in Puerto Rico when Hurricane Maria came, and somebody said, why would you be dumb enough to go to Puerto Rico in a Category 5 Hurricane Maria? Well, we just wanted to test our... No, I'm kidding. We didn't want to test anything. But, you know, we left a couple of days early, and it was a Category 1, 60-mile-an-hour winds. And if you look at the trajectory of Puerto Rico, they'll tell you that hurricanes never hit it. And so, you know, I'm a bargain shopper. My wife says cheap. I say bargain. And we had non-refundable everything. And so the trajectory was it wasn't going to hit. I thought it'll mess up one little old day of 60, 70 mile an hour winds. Boy, were we surprised when we were hanging out in that bunker for 10 hours. You know, you learn how much you love each other. when you're sleeping next to a toilet with four other women in the room. I got three daughters and a wife. And we laid in a bathroom for 10 hours in a bunker, sleeping next to a toilet as wind blew 150 miles an hour over top of our heads. It was the most interesting time I've ever had in my life. One more thing to check off the bucket list. We laid there for 6 days after Hurricane Maria passed through. I've never been in a place in my life it was so hot and humid. We would lay in bed at night with absolutely minimal clothing on, no sheets, nothing, and your hair would be as wet as if you had just gotten out of the swimming pool all night long. It's hard to sleep in that situation. So before we left, I said, we've got to do something for these people. So we came back to the States. We decided that we were going to buy 100 fans, battery-operated fans, and send them to Puerto Rico. What are we doing? We are being givers. We are giving. We are sowing. We are taking the gift that God put in us. And so I went to our radio listeners, and I went to our church family, and I went to all of our partners and friends of the Voice Radio. And I said, listen, we've got to bless CP. We got to be givers because, see, what we give causes a return to come back into our life. And so we went and bought 100 fans, and God's people responded, and we paid for those fans. And this week, they're supposed to be getting shipped into Puerto Rico to help these precious people. See, the amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. We can't always be individuals looking for a blessing. At some point, we got to be individuals saying, God has blessed me enough to be a blessing. Amen. And so we've got to distribute our gift. Every gift identified must be developed. Every gift developed, however, has to be distributed. Giving is God's recipe for blessing and increase into our lives. Giving is God's recipe for blessing and increase into our lives. Are the doors that you're needing to open in your life, are they moving? Are they moving or are they not? If they're not, could it be you're not sowing your gift in appropriate measure? Big doors take big gifts. Heavy doors take heavy gifts. Write down this week on a piece of paper all of the doors that you need to open in your life. And then next to it, write down all the seeds of gifts that you've been giving. The gift that God placed in you. See, there's some of you in this room, you are the greatest person of love that anyone has ever seen. And you are the individual that when Pastor Josh dismisses church, people swarm you. You don't even have to get up and go see them. They swarm you because you just radiate love. There are people in this room full of faith. There are people in this room that are full of the power of prayer. When you pray, it gets a hold of the throne room of God. There are people in this room, your abilities to build. Some of you, your mind and your capability for business. Some of you, your ability for numbers. The blessing that you can be in your life and in your family and in your job and in your workplace if you would develop the gift. The problem with most of us is we never recognize our own gifts because it was that a gift. When I was a boy, people used to tell me, kids never appreciate what their father just gives them. They appreciate what they have to work for. Because when something's given to you, you don't recognize the value personally. The person who paid for it recognizes the value. My daughter just turned 16 on the 23rd. Of this month, the oldest daughter, 16. So, you know, being El Shaddad, I wanted to get her a car. El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. El Shaddad's the dad of more than enough, right? I wanted to get her a car. But, you know, my fear at times is that is she going to appreciate because it didn't cost her anything? It's a gift. It's a gift. And oftentimes I find as an individual that we don't value the gifts God has given us because we've always had them. Oftentimes I meet with guys that are like, I just can't believe how foolish people are with their money. See, because they have a money mind and they don't realize it's a gift. You don't recognize oftentimes the gifts you have because you just assume that's how everyone's wired. But it's a gift. Oftentimes when we have a degree hanging on the wall, see, we worked for that, so we apply credit toward that. But I'm talking tonight about your gifts. The Bible doesn't say your degrees open doors. It doesn't say your college experience open doors. It says your gifts, your God-given gift, your God-given capability that He placed in you will open doors in your life. But what is your gift? Have you identified it? If you've not identified it tonight, you need to find the three closest people that are connected to you that you trust and say, I need you to write a review on my gift. I preached this several months ago in my church, and I called the three closest people that I knew and loved, and I knew loved me, and I knew weren't going to just cut me down. You know, you can't trust everybody's words. Right. And they text me back, and it was amazing. Three different people from three different walks of life, and they gave me the same three responses. This is what you are the most gifted at. One of those, I agreed with. The other two, I said, I didn't even know I did that. If I didn't even know that I did that, if I didn't even know that was my gift in life, if I didn't even know that's what I was doing to bless people around me, how could I ever develop it? And how could I ever purposely sow it? Because giving gifts is what opens doors. I was walking around in a fog doing things that were blessing people's life that I didn't even know about. What would happen if I could direct that gift? Because I have knowledge of it, because I've developed it. What would happen if I could now distribute that gift? What God has placed me on this people planet to do. What could happen? We have to distribute. We have to sow our gifts. I have a swimming pool, and I like to winterize it myself. My wife tells me because I'm cheap. I say because I'm being cost effective. And anybody in this room who has a swimming pool in the Northeast, you realize that you have to get all of the water or most of the water out of the lines in the pool, because when water freezes, it does what? It expands. It'll break the lines in the pool. Mine's in ground, so the water is underground, and that is a big no-no. And what I learned as I began to go through this process, you hook a shop vac or an air compressor up to the pump on your pool, and you backfeed air through the lines, pushing all the water in the lines out into the pool, into those jets that circulate. And when bubbles start coming out into your pool, you screw a little cap in there, and it keeps the water from the pool from getting back into the lines. Therefore, most of the water is out of the lines, allowing what little water is left in there to freeze and expand and not hurt the lines. However, when you get to the skimmer and the drain on the pool, it changes. The skimmer's at the top of the pool, same concept, but the drain is at the bottom of the pool. And oftentimes, the drain line can be 6 or 8 feet deeper underground than any other line in the pool. What I learned in this process is that my little 5-gallon, 4.5-horsepower shop vac cannot push the water out of the line that's at the bottom of the pool like it can push the water out of the lines near the top of the pool. Because the water at the bottom of the pool, there's more pressure, there's more weight, there's something bigger standing against it. So what I had to do is I had to seal the line tighter and get more pressure. I had to find something that could push harder in order to get that water back into the pool and to clean that line out. What am I telling you? If you have a big door that needs to be opened, you've got to get a big gift. Amen. You've got to sow yourself big. You've got to give yourself big. The things that I have learned about giving my gift is this. Number one, be faith guided and not fear guided. Yeah. Too many people are guided by fear and not by faith. The last thing that Paul told Timothy in that 2 Timothy 1:5-7, he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Remember the man with the parable of the talents? The man who did nothing with his gift? What did he say? I got into fear. So I didn't sow my gift. I didn't give what it was you put on the inside of me. And the thing that I have learned is that everything about our gift oftentimes speaks of front and center. And people in general hate being seen and hate being heard. They don't like to be up front. Oftentimes people will say, well, it must be great to be a preacher. You only have to work one day a week. And even at that, it's 1 hour a week. And oftentimes I respond with, do you want the mic? And in return, they say, oh, no, I don't want to get up there in front of people, man. Because people don't like to be seen and they don't like to be heard. It's easy for us to hide behind fear. It's easy for us to not step up to the plate. It's easy for us to not put ourselves out there for fear of failure, fear of mistake, fear of our past, fear of critics and what they might say. And oftentimes people around us are carrying what they are not gifted to carry. And it even happens in the church because the people who are gifted to carry it will not identify it, develop it, and distribute it. And there's nothing worse than being a pastor and realize that I know God puts the members in the church as it pleases him, because that's what the word says. But I've got good people who are doing things in my church because they know it needs done, but they're not gifted to do it. But there are people sitting out here who are so gifted to do it, they can do it without thinking. They can do it without training. It's on the inside of them. The second thing I've learned about distributing my gift is that my gift is for others. My gift is for others. You remember the story in the Bible, the rich man who came to Jesus and he said, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, of course, said to him, you need to keep the commandments. And he said, "Well, I've done all that." So Jesus looked at him and he said, "Sell all your possessions and give your money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. See, wealth is a gift. Possessions are a gift. This man had obeyed every commandment that God had given since he was a boy. But Jesus was trying to encourage him to chase perfection, because Jesus could see his heart. And he said, "Sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor. And then you'll have great treasure in heaven." Take notice that Jesus never told the man to give all of his money to the poor. But Jesus did say he was very rich. And I have met very rich people before. And those that are very rich have possessions and money. All Jesus said was, "Give your possessions. Sell them. Give that to the poor." The thing I've learned about people who are gifted to make money is they can give all their money away today, and in about 6 years they'll be rich again, because they're gifted to do that. Some of you in here are old enough, you've seen people do that. The problem with this man is that he didn't have possessions. Possessions had him. Some of you in here are walking in a gift, and you've been using that gift to bless yourself. And although if you pour red paint through a conduit, 90% of the paint's not going to stay in the conduit, but the conduit's still going to get to enjoy the benefit of the paint. God will let you enjoy the benefit of your gift, but learn that your gift, what you are capable of, is not for you. It's for the blessing and the sowing into the lives of other people. Enjoy the gift of God has blessed you with, but never assume it's for your own benefit. The moment you do, you'll be like this man, rich at something, but still walk away feeling sad. Doors will not be opened in your life. Recognize, third and foremost, when you distribute your gift, you will inspire hate. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first." I don't like that scripture, because I want everyone to like me. Jesus proclaimed his gifting. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be relieved, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free." Jesus proclaimed that gift. And if you look in the Bible where Jesus proclaimed it, the people in the temple became so mad that they drove him out of the outskirts of town, desiring to take him out. Because people don't like it when you give your gift. Oftentimes people think that you're being pompous. It's not pompous. It's just saying, "I recognize what God has called me to do." See, there are those that hide behind their gifts. We call them blenders. They blend in with everything and everyone around them. Those individuals never have to worry about haters, but they never see the doors open in their lives. But those who will identify, develop, and distribute their gift will gain the interest and the blessing that comes when your gift is sown, because doors open in your life. Will you stand on your feet in here with me? I want to take you back quickly as we close to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. Giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to the right people. "Given, it's given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give." See, our blessing oftentimes in the earth, our next level of increase is connected to another person. And when we release our gift, the Bible says that it will give us the access to the right people. So my encouragement tonight is for you to identify your gift. Ask somebody you love and trust to write a review on you. Say, "Text me, what is my gift? What do I do that blesses your life?" Number two, develop that gift then. When you find the top three giftings that are in your life, develop it, sharpen that tool, and then sow. Give that gift, whatever you are, give it, sow it. Don't even give big gifts in that area of your life, because as you give, I believe it'll come back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And God will open the doors of success in every area of your life. Amen. Father, tonight we thank you for this house. I thank you for every person that is here tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, you said that if we would give our gifts, it would open doors in our life. It would get us in front of the right people. Father, may we be people that identify, that develop, and distribute. In Jesus' name we thank you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. So let me say something just for a minute. Today, I sat in the Wellsboro Diner with Marcia after going to the driver's license center, which absolutely pushes you to the limits of your sanity. And I remember sitting there with you 14 years ago, and I ran you down long before Victory Church. We were broke. We had nothing. We were taking every open door we had. And you were doing radio. I don't even know if you remember sitting there. And it was a stretch for me and Marcia to even get over there and have the gas and pay for whatever little breakfast we had that day. But I chased you down because I wanted to hear your wisdom. And I knew you were doing radio successfully. And Ken told me one of the keys to doing radio effectively is longevity. And I never, ever, ever forgot that. And so we began building partnerships when the church started with radio stations that we stayed with. And the reflection of who comes to this church can be seen in the footprints of those radio stations. And so I just want to give honor to whom honor is due tonight. And he gave me an opportunity. He invited me to come and speak at one of his radio rallies just to open the service up in Mansfield several years ago. And I was thrilled to do it. And again, Marsh and I had nothing back then, but I wanted to be a part of a ministry that was successful like you guys had. And the anointing was on you strong. We sowed a significant gift in your ministry that night. And I thank God for your lives and your inspiration. I want to tell you right now before you go tonight that 1 out of 100 people who graduate from seminary will still be in the ministry in 10 years. That's awful. 1 out of 100. After 17 years, they are still in ministry, and the even bigger testimony is they're still married because the average marriage only lasts 8 years. Would you let them know how much you appreciate them and how proud of them we are tonight? I'm honored to call them my friends. They are a part of this family. We love them from the bottom of our hearts. And if God has laid it on you to bless them in any way tonight, they are good ground, and I challenge you to sow into them. Amen. I love you. God bless you. I can't wait to see you Sunday.